Say this mizmor every year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And in fact, if you down in the yeshiva, I'm down in really any shul, they say it painfully slow.
Rabbi, you're on mute.
I'm sorry, sorry. Okay, Lazer, good morning. Good morning, Alan.
It's another one of those seduces.
Good morning. How's your mother? Alan, how's your mother? I can't hear you on mute. Alan, you're mute. I can't hear. The sound is not working. Or maybe my sound is not working. I can't hear. Now I can hear you.
It's doing better, Rosh.
Okay, Refuah Shalema. Okay, Mizmor Chav Dalet. What's a segula? This for parnasa, for money. Kesef. I once got it. The psicha.
In yeshivas, they don't sell it, but in other places, they do it.
I got them Friday night. I don't know why I got it. I really feel bad for me. I guess they
it didn't work. Imagine what would happen if you didn't.
Exactly.
So today, right, they didn't say chocolate. Why?
Of course not.
I can understand.
The day after.
I can understand. Yesterday, okay, they didn't say chocolate. What? It turned out it was a Moyle present.
No, there are minhagim they don't say. Say to the Oma.
It's not strong for favors, There are those who don't say.
Right.
And the whole week of Chol.
Right, the whole week. The next 6 days, there are those who don't say this. So, right. It's a lot of talk. There's a whole different topic of itself. I had the first of all. Today where I daven, they said slichas because Bahab. Today is the last day of Bahab.
Right.
And then I had the very funny mazel that both Shabbos Mincha and yesterday, the Baal Tzila, the Baal Tzila said Tzidkoscha.
Yeah,
which is a big matter. We spoke about this. The Iker Hadin should definitely say it. For whatever reason, the Vel doesn't say it. Whatever the reason is. So the Shliach Tzibur is a big oilam, and the Shliach Tzibur, I guess he didn't know. I mean, why Davin L'Choyra they would not have said it? He just didn't know. He didn't know, so he said it, and he finished off. And he got away with it. Yesterday, I davened over here at 5 to 8. And it was a big crowd, and the Shliach Tzibur said Tachlis. And he started saying it, and it was good. And some people started murmuring. They started murmuring, Pesach Sheni, but he didn't hear. And he just kept on going, and then he gets up, Azrei, Lukei Yishin, Adarai, Kodesh, Shemecha. So my mazel was in both Shabbos and yesterday Mincha where I daven, they actually said. So once he started saying this, the people, because Me'ikar Hadin, you can say, you probably should say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. The Minig Olam is not to granted. The Chazon Ish said the Chazon Ish in Eretz Yisrael, the Minig was not to say, and the Chazon Ish was very makbid. No, you should say. So yesh, it's very interesting how this all played out. But that's not our topic today. Our topic here is to learn Tehillim. L'davin mizmar la'Hashem aritz melo tevel v'yoshiva. This mizmar we recite on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, at Ma'ariv. Some say it before. I think most say it after Avinu Malkeinu, at the very end. Before you say Kaddish Tiskabel, you say it very slowly. And this psicha, they give the mechabit someone with psicha, to open up the Aron, and the Shliach Tzibur, he says this very, very slowly. And as you said, there's a skula. I don't know where the world this comes from, that it's a skula for Parnasa. Don't say Ashirus. Sandakois is a skula for Ashirus. L'davar Hashem Mizmor is a skula to survive. Parnasa. You shouldn't have to come on to somebody else. You should be able to make your own, earn your own keep. Nene Yigias Kapo. It's the biggest shevach you can say about a person. Nene, you go to a cemetery and you look at the matzevos, and you see on the matzev it says the words Nene Miyagias Kapov, you can stop there and say Mizmor Tehillim. That's a very big thing a person can be zeichah to say about himself, that he supported himself, did not need to come on to other people to support him. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty big thing. In any event, we say this very, very slowly. It still has a lot of kavanah, and the question is why. And the answer basically is because it says five times in this mizmar Malchus. We mentioned that Hashem is the Melech of the world in this Mizmar five times. So I guess that's a significant number. V'agudos el Eretz Yosta, we say in Pirkei Avos, the five people learning Torah. It's called an aguda. That's a very significant thing. And we recite, and it's recited on the night of Rosh Hashanah and the night of Yom HaKippurim. And we say this also, many a time we say this when we put back a Sefer Torah. When we return the Sefer Torah to the Heichel, we recite this Mizmar. Now, as we always do, when you begin a Mizmar, the first question is who wrote the Mizmar, and in reference to what? What is the event that the Mizmar was composed for? So this Mizmar, you can't always find a good answer. I mean, when we learn Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani, we discuss at great length that it was said in reference to Esther. It was Al-Hurid Al-Hurid HaKodesh. Esther, when she went into the Melech Achashverosh, the Chotzer HaPnimis, she said, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani. Last Mizmar, Hashem Roi Loi Echsar Beno Yisdesha Yar Bitzeini. I don't think we really came, I don't remember learning that we came away with something where when David composed it in reference to a specific event. It was a general mizmah that David composed at the end of his life, reflecting, obviously there are different interpretations, but reflecting upon his life, how Hashem always took care of him, and where David wanted to be. And this mizmar is there is a very specific event that most of the commentators refer to. It's not everyone, obviously with different interpretations. And the event that we are referring to is when they brought the Oroin into the Beis HaMikdash. On that day, the day of the Chanukas HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech, he brought the Oroin into the Kodesh HaKodashim, and the Oroin did not fit. Now, there's a very simple reason why it did not fit. I always like to say it's because the door is slammed shut and they refused to open. That's one medrash. The other medrash we'll read some of the midrashim, and that is they made a miscalculation that there was a doorway. You see, when you build a building, there are always miscalculations. Always, every time you build something, after hindsight, we made a mistake. We should have done this. We should have done this. Sometimes the mistakes are minor, and unfortunately, sometimes the mistakes are major, major errors in the planning. No one could have seen, no one could have possibly foreseen. And even in the Beis HaMikdash itself, Shlomo HaMelech appeared to make a mistake. I don't know, can you say that? You can't really say that, but what happened? What are the dimensions of the Oren? What is the width of the Oren? It's 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos. Now the Oren, when it's put in the Kodesh HaKodashim, it's put with its width, it's put with the length. It's positioned in the Oroin 2.5 amos. When you would walk into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you would see the Oroin, you would see the length of the Oroin HaKodesh, which means you would see it standing 2.5 amos from end to end right in front of you. You walk in, you see the Oroin from here to here, right in front of you, it's exactly 2.5 amos, and the Badim are jutting out. They made it now, when they brought the Oroin into the Kodesh HaKodashim, they did not bring it in width-wise, I guess, because everything has to be very precise. They brought it in along its length. The doors, how wide was the doorway? So the contractor was told to build a doorway that is exactly 2.5 amos. So it's impossible to insert an object that's 2.5 amos into a doorway that's exactly 2.5 amos. So they basically made a major error in the design. If the Oroin is from here to here 2.5 amos, and the doorway is exactly 2.5 amos, how are you going to get to push an Oroin that's 2.5 amos into a doorway that's exactly 2.5 amos? It doesn't go. Now you'll say, so turn it like this, or go like this, right? One of your, like, your professional mover will tell you what to do. So you tilt it like this, right? Tilt it up, tilt it down, or turn the entire thing. I guess that's not that respectful for the Oroin HaKodesh to go, you know, to adjust the Oroin HaKodesh. You don't do that. the Ara, and I know the classic story where there was a Achnasa Sefer Torah, and a woman who was part of the community, she was given the job or the kavod to design a beautiful mantle for the Sefer Torah. And they finished Sefer Torah, and now they come to put on the mantle, and lo and behold, the mantle is an inch or two short. So what are we going to do? So the woman was horrified, so she said, so just cut the parchment. Just cut the parchment to make the Sefer Torah fit. What a design. You don't go cut the Sefer Torah to make the mantle fit. What kind of design? Everyone knows, so Yaakov Kamenetsky, we went to a kindergarten. They know where the kindergarten is, so they put the mezuzah all the way down on the bottom so the kids. So he says, that's not chinuch. Chinuch is you put the mezuzah where it's supposed to be, and you pick the kids up. You lift the children to the mezuzah. You don't bring the mezuzah down to the children. So the same thing, the Aron is coming into the Kodesh HaKadosh. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit because the Aron is exactly in the Torah 2.5, and the doorway is exactly 2.5. So what are you going to do? Oh, we'll tilt it. No. You don't go tilt the Aron Hashem's Veluchos that Moshe brought down in Hashemayim. You don't go turn it like this. That's not the way you do it. It's supposed to be in your Aron like this. You have to bring it in that way. What are you going to do? It didn't fit. What?
It'll be just exactly fitting. Is it
no,
it doesn't
it's
work.
The size.
Something,
it
try it.
Half to an inch.
You need at least a
an
half
opening
inch through the door.
Why?
That's how it's the science. This is follow the science.
Come on.
You if know, something,
2x4 is not 2x4. The size is 3/4 by
the without talking about what they do today, how they rip you off today. Today they'll rip you off, they'll give you everything they'll tell you, they shrink it, they make believe. We're talking, this is the base Hamnish. It was built with precision. The doorway was exactly 2.5. The Aron was exactly 2.5. The reality is something 2.5 does not fit in opening as 2.5. So therefore, they went into emergency mode. And this Mizmar was recited as a plea of desperation that the Aron should miraculously enter into the Aron. And David HaMelech, years before, David HaMelech lived not that much before. After David, how many years was it from the time that David died? Until they, I think 7 years, if I'm not mistaken? I said, my dad, it wasn't that many years. David, he laid the foundation. David purchased the property, he laid the foundation, he had the blueprints, he made all the preparations. Every single possible preparation that could be done was done. Hashem said, David, you cannot physically build it because your hands are filled with blood, and you cannot do it, but Shlomo, your son, will do it. But David did all the preparations. And this is a very fascinating thing that the Aron could not enter. And it comes out then that the only way, see, when we learn, you learn the classic Medrash. This is how I was brainwashed. I should stop using that word, that's not a good word, but the classic Medrash is that when they came to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they had these big, beautiful doors, these beautiful French doors that open up. There's a Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Sheni, there were no doors. The Bayis Sheni, there was... The bias, no, they don't slide. French doors are two narrow doors. They don't slide French doors. They open up. Two doors open up. Oh, whatever. But in the bias, shady, there were no doors. But the bias, we showed there was a door. There was a wall. In the wall, there was an opening. There was doors. And we always imagined that the doors were very wide. And they came to bring the Aron. And for some bizarre reason, it was l'mala miderech hateva that the doors refused to open. No matter what they did, no matter how hard they tried to open those doors, the doors did not open. It was lemala miderech hateva that they should not open. And they needed to be mispalel to restore the mikdash to a state of nature. That the doors, why shouldn't the doors open? We tested these doors 1,000 times. These doors, everything is perfect. Why don't the doors open? It was a nace that they did not open. And they had to be mispalo to restore the mikdash to a state where they would open. This marriage is just the opposite. It's much more profound. That there was a mistake, mamash a mistake, made in the design of the mikdash. The Aron is exactly 2.5 amos, And the doors were designed exactly 2.5 amos. An object of 2.5 cannot accommodate, cannot fit through an opening that's exactly 2.5. So the tefillah was that the aroin should enter lemala miderach hateva. That's a whole new world. That means that.
You're talking about the Beis Hamikdash?
Yes, the Bais Rishon.
So they couldn't put it in before the roof went on?
No, that's not what the plan was. Mm-hmm. That's not the plan. The plan was you build the. That's it says these are psukim, right? Everything over here is on this page. There's midrashim. We'll read some of the things soon. They built the Mikdash, and then came the inauguration. The inauguration took place before Yom Kippur. It took place on day seven, the seventh day of Tishrei. Went until Sukkot, 8th day. See, I get it wrong three times. The eighth day, the inauguration took place on the eighth day of Tishrei. They ate on Yom Kippur.
Right.
They ate 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then they celebrated Sukkot for another 7 days. And then Shmini Atzeres. And then when it was all over, they realized, what did we do? We ate on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is day 10. And they ate on Yom Kippur.
They didn't realize it before?
They did realize it. They made a Kal V'Chomer. I don't remember the details, but they had a reason why they believed that it was permitted to Yom Kippurim. And then when it was over, they bothered that maybe they made a mistake. And Hashem said, I forgive you. I forgive. It's not so clear what the answer was from Hashem, but Hashem, even no matter what the case, I forgive you if you didn't make Kippurim. They all went back home and they lived happily ever after. They had children. They had male children after this event. Okay, but it's this, according to this approach, it's an amazing idea. Is that the Iker is to bring the Shechina to this world. The Oroin is the Mokoim of the Hashroas Hashechina. And the ability to bring the Shechina to this world, according to this Medrash, only occurred l'mala miderech hateva, because the Oroin truly did not fit. And it was the Hachnosa to the Kodesh HaKadoshim was l'mala miderech hateva, to bring the Shechina to this world, for us to do our part in bringing Hashem's divine presence to rest permanently in this world, was only through nisim, miracles. It wasn't an act of nature. And this mizmar is all part of that story. Let's see over here. Love mizmar.
Lash. It would be a nisim that's so, you know, just that it would be a nisim that 2.5 is an exact microscopic 2.5, and the other one was an exact. That itself has to be just.
EF Shulitzamsen. You're saying EF Shulitzamsen.
EF
Shulitzamsen. So, how could it possibly be? I hear what you're saying. I hear, but.
Akteva is 86, like a kid.
You have to see inside some of these midrashim. Let's right away see over here what it says over here. Okay, so let's right away. So Ludovim is more la Hashem Aretz Lot. Hashem is the Aretz, is the earth, Umiloya, and its fullness, Tevel, the earth, the Yoshvei, the two expressions. What is the difference between the word Aretz and the word Tevel? This one pasuk appears to repeat itself. Hashem is the Balabas. Hashem is the Balabas of the Aretz and the Tevel. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, first Rashi, Lashem Ha'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Tevel Sheor Arotzas. That's a powerful Rashi. Rashi is giving us a definition, the difference between the word Aretz, Eretz Yisrael, and Tevel is, so we're living today, America is the Tevel. Eretz Yisrael is the word Eretz. Mitzudas David says a little bit different. Mitzudah is Lashem, Lashem. Medrash is more midrash. Mitzudas David, Umeloa, Kol Advarim, Sha'aretz, Milea, Mehem. He learns that the fullness, okay, doesn't really say, but look in the Mitzudas Tzion, Lashem, Shalashem, Tevel, Humokim, Hameyushav. So it would appear, according to the Mitzudas Tzion, that the Aretz means the entire landscape of this world. Tevel means the inhabited sections, the places, the civilized. Aretz means the desert, Saudi Arabia.
What?
the earth in general.
The earth is 1/3 of the world. This land is 1/3 of, in this world, approximately 2/3 water and 1/3 land mass. That's called the Eretz. Umiloya, how much of that of the earth is inhabited by civilization? Not very much. Very, very small amount.
That's how you define civilization.
Now let's look at the Perish Horid. Over here, the Perish Horid. He says, Roh David. Okay, Roh David. This is not what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Let's look at the Radak. Okay, look at the Radak inside. Page 213. On 213, look at my notes over here. To get everything over here, what I wanted to say. Page 213, look at the Radak. The Radak says, L'dav Mizmar, Zeha Mizmar, Chibroi David. So this is the story when David HaMelech with Nosan Hanavi, they discovered, they went scouting to find the place l'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama, to seek the Mokoyim, to seek the Mokoyim of the permanent resting place for Hashem. And when David stood in Har HaMoriah, he discovered, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, that this would be the permanent resting place of Hashem's Shekhinah. And David composed this Mizmor. Now, if you wouldn't delve deeply into this Mizmor, there has to be something very, very important. This Vart, it's a word that's very dear to my heart, near to my expression, to my heart. And it said, Rav Schwab talks about this, he doesn't bring it out to the degree that I would be happy. But, and it's really the Mitzudah's David and Sefer Yeshaya. It's an idea that really shook me up. All over Tanakh, must have told this to you 100 times. All over Tanakh, we read about, if you learn Sefer Melachim, you go through one king after another. I think there were 21 kings, one after another, and most of them were good, some were not so good. I'd always go, Rak ha-bamois lo yehesiu. Many of the good kings, it says they were wonderful people, they were incredibly great kings. Everything was, they get a grade A, plus, for their service to Klal Yisrael. There was one thing, they didn't succeed. They did not succeed in getting rid of the bamois. What are the bummites? You don't understand this, but in that generation, people had this yearning to come close to Hashem, and they needed to offer sacrifices every couple of minutes, every other day. So to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, that's a very big trip. Can't run every day to the Beis HaMikdash. It's gridlock. It's impossible. But I need to bring a carbon. I can't live with myself. So what do? You go to your backyard, and you have a little mizbeach, make it perfectly square. It doesn't have to have anything special, just a perfectly square structure of stone with corners. And you bring, and you slaughter an animal, and you sprinkle the blood on this little mizbeach that you get and put in the backyard. You can probably get on Amazon. It'll take 2 days to come. Amazon Prime, they'll send you a mizbeach. You set up in your backyard, and you can sacrifice offerings, and you can sprinkle the blood on this little mizbeach in your backyard. That's called a bama. You're not allowed to offer a carbon on the bama bizman shabeis hamikdash kayim. The bamas were only permitted bizman when there was no beis hamikdash. When was there a mikdash shiloh? For 369 years, it was categorically forbidden to offer korbanos on a bama, because it was the Mishkan Shiloh. Now before that time in Gilgal for 14 years it was permitted. Then there was a 57 year period of Noiv given where it was permitted to offer korbanos on bamos in your backyard. But once David, really Shlomo, built the Beis HaMikdash, over forever. Adkan. Why do bamas become permanently forbidden? Because this is the final resting place of the Shekhinah. And now it is forbidden forever to offer karbanos on a bummer. Problem is, people didn't want to accept that. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and people continued to offer sacrifices on the bummers. And no matter what the malachim of the 410 years was, what they tried to do, I think till Yoshiyahu, he was the one that finally succeeded. Well, no matter what they tried to do, most of the kings, they were talking to deaf ears. No one wanted to listen. Yeah. Don't bring korbanos on the bummers. Okay, fine. You go home and you bring a korban. Okay, what is going on? Okay, what over here is going on? What over here is going on that they don't want to listen? So what will you answer? On a very simple, you'll say it's because, you know, their yearning to serve Hashem is so intense. It's an avera lishma. It's like, are you allowed to read during Chazaras Hashatz a publication, learn Mishnah Berurah, learn? No, it is categorically forbidden to learn during Chazaras Hashatz. You're not allowed to open a sefer and learn. During Chazaras Hashatz, there's no excuse. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to listen intently to the Chazaras Hashatz. You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to open a sefer during Chazaras Hashatz.
I see a lot of people doing it.
You got it. So how come the Rabbanim don't get up and start screaming, Osir, to do this?
You're not concentrating anyway.
No.
Something better.
A better answer. Save your battles for something more important. It's taka osir, but you know, if you want to fight with the Balabatan, there's a lot better things to fight. Don't waste your ammunition. Don't waste your ammunition on this, even though it's osir. It's mamish osir. Don't waste your ammunition. This is. So the bummers, many will tell you, it's exactly the same thing. It's osur, it's chiv kares. Shchut echutz, kefer lech averes. Unbelievable, the avera. But you know something? Mutav sheyushaygin, ve'avi mezidin. They're totally swept up in their avodas Hashem. There are much bigger problems going on in that generation than worrying about people bringing sacrifices to Hashem, l'shem Shemayim, in their backyard. Motov sheyushaygin ve'al yehu meizin. I just told you now the classic answer that you will find in every footnote in art scroll, one of their publications. That's a classic answer, and it says a lot. It says it everywhere. There's a much deeper answer, and this deeper answer is extremely relevant to our times, and that is. Klal Yisrael, this is a controversial answer. I really believe it to be so true, and it changes everything, and especially when you read this Mizmar. This Mizmar is all about this principle. If you read it very carefully, it touches upon mamish this image. Klal Yisrael, when David and Nasan HaNavi, they went and had Ruach HaKodesh, and they said, guess what, Rabbi Yisai? This is the final resting place. It does not say anywhere b'chol haTorah kula the word Yerushalayim. All it says is l'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama. I give you a command: you shall seek out Hashem's divine presence, and you will come there. You had to search. Where is Hashem want his final resting place to be? Gilgal was not the final resting place. Shiloh was not the final resting place. Noiv was not the final resting place. Givon was not the final resting place. So Klal Yisrael said to David, David, Nasan, who says Yerushalayim Har HaMoriah is the final resting place of Hashem's Shekhinah? It's another step in the process. Just like Gilgal was one step, and then we went to Shiloh, then we went to Noah, then we went to Givon. So now we're going to settle down in Har HaMoriah. But you know, after this, we'll move on to Tel Aviv. We'll go, after that, we'll go to Beis Shemesh. After that, we'll go to Beit Vegan. You name it, okay? Telstone. You name it. I don't know all the territories, the whole area is in trouble. What?
Hashem dictated Shiloh to be the location.
It was our Pivurah HaKodesh. Hashem said nothing. Hashem, it was all Hashem, but it was through the Nevi'im, the prophets. It's not a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah didn't give you the GPS coordinates. He didn't give you the longitude, the latitude. This is the spot where the Mikdash is going to be built. Doesn't say anything in the Torah. Zero. All it says is, seek it out. You have to believe the Navi. This is a very big nisoyon. Okay, when the courses that deal with the principle, when you have a course, da ma lehoshev liapikoris, the aleph is the first yisoyon how Judaism is different than lahavdil elef alfi avdolus than these other false religions, Christianity and Islam, is our religion is based on first eyewitness testimony. 600,000 men, 3 million people approximately, saw Hashem come down, Vayered Hashem on Har Sinai. Moshe didn't come and tell Klal Yisrael, trust me. That's not the way it worked. Every single member of Klal Yisrael witnessed firsthand, Vayered Hashem on Har Sinai. They heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. These other false religions are all based on Mishugoyim saying, trust me. God came to me in the vision and he told me ABC, trust me. Oh, really, trust me. Yeah, really, you should trust the person. How far does that get you to go trust someone? So the problem is, Yerushalayim is just that. Even though we know when it comes to Matan Torah, it was every single member of Klal Yisrael saw Hashem, Vayir Hashem on Har Sinai, everyone heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. No one heard Hashem state that Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is the final resting place. Two people, that's it. David and Nosson. Nosson HaNavi, that's it. Two people made that determination that this is the place of the final resting place. Klal Yisrael did not want to accept that. They said, David, no, good for you. You think you claim this is the final resting place? Okay, that's your opinion. We're not convinced. L'may naskamina, we're not convinced. If this is not the ultimate final resting place, it is permitted. This Mikdash is nothing more than a bama gedoyla. And if the Beis HaMikdash is nothing more than a bama gedoyla, every single person lichatchila is permitted to have in their backyard a bama kitana and bring sacrifices on that little bama in the backyard. Like Klal Yisrael continuing to bring korbanos on the bama in their backyard, in essence, they were making a claim that Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, is not the final resting place. There will be other journeys. There will come a time when this Mokim will come to an end. Just like Shiloh came to an end, just like Gilgal, just like Noiv, just like Givon, the Bayis Rishon will one day be retired and will move on to a bigger and better location. We'll go to Meron. We'll go to Tzvas. We'll go somewhere else. This is not the final resting. We'll go to Chevron. Why not? We'll build the Beis HaMikdash in Chevron. Why not? We'll build it in Beis Shemesh. Why not? Who says this is the final resting place? Rak HaBamois Loi Hesir. All of the Malachi Yisrael, no matter how much they tried to convince Klal, these are all the descendants of David. David's legacy is that he selected the final resting place of the Shekhinah. He selected the final resting place. The Klal Yisrael couldn't accept it. And all of his descendants, the Malchei based David, kept on hacking away. This is the final resting place. Trust David. Trust our Zayda. This is, Klal Yisrael said to all the Malchei Yehuda, you're a great king, you're a holy people, we love you, we serve you, but sorry, this we cannot swallow. We want revelations from the sky. We want Hashem to come down, like by Matan Torah, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. We want Hashem to reveal to every single person in Klal Yisrael where is the final resting place. And until that happens, we don't trust anyone, not even you. And therefore, to make it known to that we don't trust you, what is this beautiful thing that you've built over here? It's a beautiful Bama Gedoyla. A Bama Gedoyla, you're allowed to have a Bama Kitana. You're allowed to have a Bama Kitana. Rak HaBamois Loi Hesir. No matter how successful the Malchei Yehuda were, they could not succeed in convincing Klal Yisrael that David and Nosson single-handedly selected the ultimate destination for Hashem Shechina. They couldn't accept that. Jews are very suspicious. Jews are very, they, that's the nature of a Jew. They don't accept. They're very suspicious. I don't know what Nikuda it was, but they don't just accept. Just because someone tells you something, he says you're right. It's very true. Jews are very stubborn. And Kesherov, they're very stubborn. They're very stubborn. Just because David tells you this is what it is, who says? Who says? Prove it.
That's what Rabbi Hanel Lipovitz did the yeshiva one time. I told you, he gave a shiur on a Friday morning one time, and 45 minutes into the shiur, somebody raised his hand and said, I don't understand, this doesn't make sense. He said, finally, the shiur today was, you all trusted me because I said it? No, it doesn't work. I based the whole shiur on a fallacy, and everybody's keeping quiet. Finally, somebody raised their hand and said, I don't get it. And he said, that's today's shiur.
Okay.
Don't trust anybody.
Exactly. The only reason why we have a Klal Yisrael today is because Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, every single member saw Hashem. Every single member of Klal Yisrael heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. All of a sudden we're going to listen to one person, even the Melech Yisrael, tell us that this is L'shichnai Sidrashu. Okay, so this is, I think it was Yoshiyahu. So Rabbi said, Yoshiyahu, the greatness of Yoshiyahu was, he was the person who was finally able to persuade, okay, that was his greatness. And that needs to be defined. It needs to be defined, the quality of Yoshiyahu. What did he have? What koyach? We don't, it's very hard for us to be massive. What koyach did Yoshiyahu have that he was the one? Can you imagine his greatness? You have to appreciate on Tisha B'Av, there's the most authentic kina. And you go to these gatherings on Tisha B'Av where they talk with the kinas. You always hear the person say is that the most authentic kina of the kinas is Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. The kina was composed pretty much by Yirmiyahu. And number two, we're mourning over Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu's greatness is not to be understood because Yoshiyahu, he was the one that. What is Tisha B'Av all about? You're mourning over the Chor Beis Hamikdash. So what's the big deal? Anyway, we're going to move on. Okay. Anyway, we're going to move to. Here, but anyway, we're going to move to a new location. We're going to travel on. So, what's the big deal? It is a big deal, because Yoshiyahu, he is the one that somehow. What was the quality? You have to define this quality. Was able to convince Klal Yisrael, this is it. This is the permanent resting place of Hashem. When you realize that's the permanent resting place of Hashem, then it's a very big churban. When the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, wow, our home is destroyed. If you're just traveling, You go, and you know, a person's on the road, and then you come to a rest stop. And all of a sudden, you're in the restaurant. All of a sudden, all the alarms go off. There's some fire. Everyone, there's a fire. Get out of the rest stop. Get out of the McDonald's. I used to go to McDonald's. I go to Boston. I go to McDonald's all the time. So you get into your car and you go. I couldn't care less. Just a rest stop. It's not my home. I'm going to mourn over the loss of a rest stop. I'll go to the next rest stop. Dime a dozen.
It was 300 years later?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yoshiyahu was here. Perhaps more even. Oh, he was mamish towards the very end.
Yeroam ben Nebat split and everything. It was all temporarily? They were fighting over rest stop?
Yeroam ben Nebat. Maybe that's why. This idea changes everything. See, I didn't realize what you just said. Something said very profound. He said, how did Yeroam ben Nebat get away with it? He built two mikdashes, Basel and Dan. And he also changed the calendar. That's a pretty extreme thing. That's already really over the top. But obviously, I mean, this is an idea. You have to really delve into how authentic this idea. Rav Shimon Schwab writes this idea and says it mamish in the Mitzvahs David, in Yeshaya. And say in Yeshaya, the Mitzvahs David, mamish spells, says mamish milu mila. And Rav Schwab, he talks a little bit about this, he elaborates a lot. But it is the most fundamental game changer in the entire story of Tanakh. People didn't really believe that this is the final. It's a rest stop. You go on the road and the rest stop burns down. You couldn't kill us. I'll go to the next rest stop. But when it's your home that burns down, oh, that's a different story. This is not the final resting place. Who cares? So Yeroam ben Nebat can go, can make another mikdash and Basel and done. Big deal. What's the big deal? You and Yerushalayim. Anyway, it's not the final resting place. So we'll go to the next stop. Yoshiyahu's koyach is just not to be believed. He succeeded in getting rid of the bummers. What does it mean to get rid of the bummers? He convinced Klal Yisrael, this is the final resting place. And wake up and get with the program. And the mail of this is the final resting place, you're not allowed to offer a carbon on the bummers. Chayv karis. You know, they say the same thing about the state, and these people don't want to hear this. Okay? People don't want to talk about, you know, Zionism, but about Yish of Eretz Yisrael. Many people, you know, there are certain segments of people, they look at Eretz Yisrael, and they'll say, no. Just because today there's a Yish, there's a government, and there is a significant development of the Eretz Yisrael. This is not for real. This is just, you know, this is the Gula will come when Hashem will come and reveal Himself to every single person. Vayera Hashem al Har Sinai, and what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, just ignore, stay away from. And people, you know, they make this analysis. You're living in a dream. If you don't appreciate that. There's a process that is moving forward. Obviously, there are very significant issues, but if you just want to ignore world history and not study history and understand what Geul is all about, you're being part of the team that says Rak ha-bamois lo hisir. Having your shul in Flatbush and Borough Park in Brooklyn, you have your bama. Yavyabama, Rak Habamos, Lo Hisiru. Okay, I don't mean, you know, everyone, this is a very sensitive issue. Everyone will, you know, you have to refine it very carefully to each person, each you know, each hashkafa. But I would imagine that everyone has to acknowledge that what is happening in the last 75 years is part of a process of Geula. Study world history. Klal Yisrael, there's a slow but sustained process of Geula that is unfolding before our eyes. It's not coming the way a Yari Shemayim would exactly wish. You know, L'chol Pirotecha V'Dikdukecha V'Chavnoseha. But listen, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. And so why are we emphasizing this idea? Because this is where the action is, this is where it's really happening. When David HaMelech composed this mizmor, when they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Chanukas HaMikdash, there was a major thrust, especially in this mizmor, that it should sink into the heads of Klal Yisrael, Rabbeisai, this is the final destination. You have reached your final destination. Klal Yisrael did not listen.
Partly they didn't listen because a lot of the Klal Yisrael didn't believe in David, period.
Right. Every all part of it.
Not you know, that he was...
he was illegitimate.
Right.
Amoini v'loyam, amoini, lo yov amoini b'kal Hashem. They did not listen. David, when he composed this mizmar, David's thrust is, except when there will be the Chanukas HaMikdash, it is the final destination. It's a critical yisoid in this mizmar. Okay, so this is what the Radak says, that this mizmar was composed in reference specifically to the big. You know, a lot of these midrashim over here, I'm not going to do a lot of these, because these midrashim over here, a lot of them are not necessarily on point to the mizmar. They're just a collection of things, and I want to rather they have other things that are more relevant as we turn the pages. Let's just go a little bit further. Tihu al yamim yisadad. In other words, there is one thing that I do want to mention. That is a very, very important point. That does say in the Medrash, say it outside. And there are really two answers to this question. There is a contradiction. There are two psukim. One pasuk says, Lahashem ha'aretz umiloya. This pasuk is quoted all over. It's Hashem's world. Tevel v'yoshreva, the tevel. There's the Aretz, is the landmass. The Tevel is the inhabited portions of the world. The Yoshreva and all those that live within it. Everything belongs to Hashem. But there's another pasuk. Okay, and then there's another, the other pasuk says, Hashamayim Shamayim La Hashem. Okay, the Haaretz Nosan Livnei Adam. The other pasuk says that the Shemayim is Hashem, but the Aretz, he has given Levnei Adam. So you have a stira. This is the classic there, and there are two very important answers to this question. Okay, so we have this pasuk is part of the contradiction. Here it says, La Hashem Aretz Umuloa, to Hashem is the Tevel, the Yoshreva. How do you reconcile this that states that Hashem owns everything with what it says that is Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem V'Ha'aretz Nosan Levnei Adam. So one answer, I think the most popular answer is Kan Koidim Bracha, Kan Li'acha Bracha. Before you make a blessing, before you recite a piece of food, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam HaMotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, it's not yours. The acquisition of anything on this world comes via a bracha, a hakara, a recognition that it is Hashem's world. Then it becomes yours. And until you make that bracha, it's ki'ilu yumoyel behegdish. If you have a piece of property that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and you have derived benefit from it, it's a severe avera. The person is obligated to bring a karbon osham, and he has to pay back its value plus an additional fifth. So everything in this world belongs to Hashem. It's sacred. You want to derive benefit? You're not allowed to. It's not yours, it's gezel. How then can you acquire it? Of course, you have to pay for it. That goes without saying, but you have to make a bracha. Okay, so that's how we reconcile the two psukim. This pasuk is koidim habracha, and the pasuk the aretz nasan levnei adam is achar habracha. The other answer that's not so popular is cited here in this medrash, and the medrash says. Let me see if I can find which medrash I wrote down here in my notes. It's a mashal. A mashal is Hashem, it's a marriage. Love and war, what's it called? Love and war conquer all? No. What's the medrash? All sphere of fire. Let's see over here. The puzzle over here says, let me just see if I can find it. I want to find the exact medrash for you. It's somewhere over here. Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. Maybe it's on the next page. I have a feeling it's on the next page. I wrote it down on the next page. Let me just see 1 second. No. One second. Let's see. All right, I can't find this moment, but basically it's, there was once a king, and it's a marshal. There was a king, and the king, due to the economy or whatever the situation, made a gzeira on the country. No one is allowed to leave, and no one's allowed to come. There's a country next door, let's say the neighboring lockdown. Country, lockdown. Why? For the economy. You know, he doesn't want, whatever the reasons were, the economic reasons, that no one is allowed to leave the country and no one from another country is allowed to enter. For whatever the reason, economic reasons.
Your, bank
and then one day, he happens to meet, this king was a bachur, he happens somehow to meet a young lady who he wanted to marry. Problem was, she didn't have citizenship. She was from another country. And she wasn't allowed to enter, and he's the king. Oh, the melech now wants to get married, and he met this girl somehow, and he wants to marry her, and she's from another country. He changed the rules. He changed the rules, and everything is different. And he decided you can leave, and they can come, all because he wanted to marry this young lady. Same thing. When Hashem made this world, Hashem says, you people down here in this world are evil. I don't want to have anything to do with humanity. And I don't want them coming to chapel with me in Shemayim also. So keep your distance. HaShemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, V'Horetz Nosan L'Vnei Adam. Let's keep apart. I don't want to know from you, and I don't want you to, don't mingle with me. And then the day came when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw there's a Klal Yisrael. Hashem saw there's a Klal Yisrael. And Hashem's, I must have a relationship with these people. I cannot distance myself from them. They're my people. So Hashem changed the rules. And Hashem said, LaHashem Haaretz Umuloya Tevil V'yoshiva, I'm coming over. I'm coming down. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Due to the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for Klal Yisrael, Hashem broke all the rules, he changed the rules. And Hashem says, I'm coming down to this world. Okay, so it's like a mashal. It's like a Dubna Magid mashal. Originally, now what's very interesting about these two mashalim is the order is the reverse. In the classic answer to the contradiction, how do you start? You start off, La Hashem, Ha'aretz Umuloa Tevel, that's the starting point. It's Hashem's world. This world is a museum. Don't touch the merchandise. Don't touch the paintings. Everything in this world is in a glass case. That's how you start. La Hashem Aretz Umuloa. You want to be Nenet? Make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaroi. Oh, open the glass case. Now you can have it. So you start off with La Hashem Aretz Umuloa, and then when you make a bracha, you now make available the pasuk of the Ha'aretz Nosan L'Vnei Adam. In the other approach, the only other answer that's given by Chazal to this question is just the opposite. You start off with La Hashem is Hashemayim Shemayim La Hashem, the Aretz Nosan L'Vnei Adam. You have nothing in common. Hashem's in Shemayim, we're on this world, don't mix, don't mingle. Then what happened? Hashem saw from far this beautiful nation, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, and Hashem says, I must have a relationship with these people, and therefore I'm changing the rules. And Hashem then instructed, La Hashem, Ha'aretz Umuloa Tevel V'yoshreva, I'm coming down into this world. I'm going to be part of this world as well. So it's interesting, two different answers, and the answers, they differ, not just in the idea, but which pasuk you start with, and which pasuk do you end with. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, Ki hu al yamim yisada, he established the world on the seas, v'al niharos, and on the rivers, yichonneha, two different words. And what is the difference between the word yisada and yichonneha? So it's a very, very beautiful Malm, two words in the Ber Hamilas. in the Be'er HaMilas word Yisada, Yisada means to lay the foundation. The word Yechoinina means to finish. Okay, to establish. If not for this moment, you never appreciate that the word Yechoinina doesn't mean to lay a foundation. It means it's the ribbon cutting ceremony. It's the Chanukah Sabayis. Hashem created the world from beginning to end. He laid the foundation and he put up the moldings. He painted. Every last detail was done by Hashem. Look at the Be'er HaMilas in the Malbim, page 214. Yisada Yichoninecha, Koinein Moire Gimar Habinyan. Boine Ir V'choinein Kirya. You say in the Leinu, L'sakein Oilam B'malchus Shakai. We always discuss, how do you spell the word L'sakein? So in all of our Sidurim is a Kuf. L'sakein is Tikkun, which means to fix. The world is broken, and Hashem is the repairman. He's going to come with his truck to fix the world with a kuf. Many will tell you that that is a corruption of the text. All of our sidurim are mistaken, and the correct spelling is with a chof. L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai. And now with the malbim, what is l'sakein? It's a hard word to translate. Listen, but now with the Malbim, finally, after all these years, we get a much better translation. To finish off the world. To finish. This world, when Hashem created Shakai, Sha'omar li'olamoi dai. Hashem made this world. This world was incomplete. Hashem made the world and he left over. There's a lot more than meant to be complete. And Hashem left that over for man to finish the world. And we talk about Olein, we talk about of the end of days. And we come to this expression, Al Kain the Kavaluch Hashem Lohim, Liras Mer Besiferes Uzech Lahavir Gilulim Nerets, for Lilim Karosi Karesun. And when that will happen, then the world will be finished. Lissakein Oilom the Malchus Shakai. This Malm over here is teaching us the meaning of what we say every single day in Oleinu, assuming that the spelling of the word Lissakein in our Siddur is mistaken. Okay, it's very difficult what we have in our Siddur. To spell the word L'sakein with a kuf, which means to fix, is a tremendous chiddush, because you're saying about Hashem that Hashem made a broken world. Hashem is perfect. Hatsur tamim pa'aloi, ki chol d'rachav mishma. Hashem is perfect. To say that Hashem needs tikkun, that's sheker. Hashem doesn't need any tikkun. Okay, the conservative movement, you don't have to talk about them, give them any recognition whatsoever. They enter this thing called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. They're going to fix the world. Where do they get that from? Tikkun Olam. From Olenu. Ha ha ha. It's not what it says in Olenu.
It says
there's a misspelling in Olenu.
No,
yeah?
But they also leave out the Malchus Shakai.
Oh, you leave out the Malchus Shakai. That's very good. You have art? It's your art.
I mean, yeah.
MS. There's no such thing as Tikkun Olam. It's a mistake. Okay. I say such thing, but it's not what it says in the Siddur. It's not what the Siddur says with a kuf. It says maybe you have to go look at some. Maybe the art's put a door on the bottom. But there's a lot written on this. Is that it's very not mistaver. The correct nusach is with a kuf. How can you say about Hashem? Hashem made a mistake. Hashem doesn't make mistakes. That's Surah Tam Paolo. It's much more mistaver. What? We broke it. We have the ability to break the world. We have the ability to break the world.
We messed up a lot of things.
Okay, but it's very satisfying, to at least my extremely limited understanding of anything, to say that the correct years, I'm just saying, but other people write, is with a chof. And then it comes to the lotion of this word. Al yamim yisada v'al nehoros yichoyneneha, koinein, chaf nun. And the Malbim over here is a gem, and he tells us what is exactly the word choinein. So I always say choinein means to establish. To establish. Hashem was to establish the world. It's not fixing establishment. But today we're learning a new yisoid. It means to conclude, to be mashlim. The world, and that's very satisfying, because the world was created as incomplete. Shakai. Sh'omar le'olomoy dai. Don't finish. Let the world be in a state of under construction. This world, you come into this world, the first thing you see when you enter into this world, you come, you know, Star Trek, you're coming from on the Enterprise, and you come into, you know, the atmosphere, there's a big sign, welcome to Earth, under construction. Please disregard our appearance, under construction. The world is in a state of construction. And the Gemara is l'sakein oilam b'malchus, is to conclude, to the mashlim, this world in the Malchus Shakai. So we tell this to the conservative movement, their whole tikkun oilam goes out the door, totally out the door, because they got the nusach, the girsa wrong. And there's no such thing then, according to this, as that the world needs a tikkun. They need a tikkun.
But that's just the point. They
want to
fix the world, but they don't want to fix themselves first.
All right. So this to me is very satisfying. I'll give you all the. Let's see over here with the mitzudos. The mitzudos of this pasuk says ki hu reitzayin aloy ma ki ma sha'aretz hi lamalam in ayam nira mizeshu yisparach yisada al hayamim. This is the earth is above the yam. It appears from this that Hakadosh Baruch Hu established al hayamim. He established the world on the yam. It's like floating islands. Now he's alluding over here to something very, very deep. We're going to come to it in a second. Let's first see Rashi. Rashi is very interesting. Al yamim yisada. There are two things mentioned here in this mizmor. In this mizmor, yamim, seas and rivers. Rashi says shivas yamim makifin eretz Yisrael. There are seven seas that surround. Now these are not the seven seas of the world. These are different seas.
As far as the known world.
Civilized world. At the time.
As far as the known world at the time.
At the time.
We're going to go through them.
Yes.
Exactly.
We know exactly what they are. It's in the Medrash. We'll read it in a second. L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai. Rashi. Again, sorry. What am I saying over here? Okay, Rashi. Al yamim yisader. Shivas yamim makiv neretz yishol. V'arba nocharos and four noros. And Rashi, for whatever, only says the rivers. What are the rivers?
Yeah.
The Yarden. The Yarden is on the east. The Yarmuch. I don't know these things. You know these in May. You know what these things are?
It's the Yarmuch.
Where is that?
Syria.
North?
Mm-hmm.
That's in the north. Karmioin, where is that? And where is Ufuga? Okay, you think it's the Mediterranean. That's the Yam. Now, what are the Yamim? Look, let's see over here at the bottom. Yeah. Look at the very bottom of the page. Likud Shas and Midrash Yatim on the very bottom of the page. On page 24, the very, very bottom. Ki al yamim yisadav yanos yichanecha ki osar v'dimi omar v'yachman maidach si ki al yamim yisadav yanos yichanecha elu shiva yamim v'yarba nuharois shemakifin es eretz Yisrael v'iluhain shiva yamim. What are the shiva yamim? Yamo shel Tveria. Okay, so that's on the east.
The Kinneret.
So that's on the east.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right by
the Yama Shalstein, that's more same than the south. I mean, okay, that's really on the same side, but it's still the south. The Yama Shalstein, the Yama Shal Chilas, where's that? No idea. The Yama Shal Chilsa, the Yama Shal Sivki, anyone know that? The Yam Aspamya, that's north, right?
No, that's okay. Aspamya is Spain.
Okay, I don't know. Fine. The Yam HaGadol. Okay, that's obviously the west. That's the Mediterranean, obviously. And notice, it's called the Yam HaGadol. Okay, Yam. There's always this big topic when he said the Yam HaGadol is that the Atlantic or is that the Mediterranean? There's always a big topic of discussion because the bracha. When a person sees the Yam HaGadol, he's supposed to make a bracha. I say my sebereishis. So there's a bracha. I've already forgot all the halachas. There's the two brachas, and there's a very big dilemma. What bracha you make? When you see the Yam, when you see the Mediterranean, you see the Atlantic, what bracha do you make? It's a very, very big dilemma, which there's really no answer to. And the only solution is that when you fly in a plane, you see both. When you fly in a plane, you should look down and look at the Mediterranean, and then look at the Atlantic, and then l'chol hadeyos, you have witnessed the Yam HaGadol, and you can make the bracha, the special bracha for the Yam HaGadol. There's a special bracha for the Yam HaGadol, there's a bracha for the Yamim in general. Yamim in general, you make the bracha, I say, my say, Bereshis. on the Yam HaGadol, you say, oh, it's the Yam HaGadol. So when you see the Mediterranean, what bracha do you make? We make on the Mediterranean the Yam HaGadol bracha, we make the bracha of Oisamai Sebereshis. When you see the Atlantic, what bracha do you make? You make Oisamai Sebereshis, you make the Yam HaGadol. There's no answer to this question. Everybody's a big machlokes. And there are rias both ways, because depending on the context of the Maamar Chazal, it's interchangeable. So the only solution to halacha, have no shaila, is if you see them both at the same time or within a very short period of time. And that happens only with technology. With technology today, you go on the airplane and you look down, and you're able to see the Mediterranean and you see the Atlantic. You have to know what you do. You know, look at the map on the computer when you see it, when there's a flying over. What?
The Atlantic,
I guess it's relative to Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, well, listen, in the Chumash at the beginning it says Nahar Ross is Yam HaGadol. That's what it calls it. I mean, we don't refer to
okay,
it.
Okay, there's the context. There's the context.
The
I guess Yam HaGadol, it's relative. You're living in Eretz Yisrael, but the Atlantic is like Mars. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're living in Bavel. You said the Atlantic? Atlantic?
Mamish.
So Yam. Right, so if you want to go travel all the way out to an expedition and you see it, oh, Oisamai Sebereshis. But what was relevant to your daily life, the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean, right. That was very relevant. That was just part of the civilized world. People traveled there. So Chazal, they made a bracha. They didn't make a bracha. What bracha did you make to go to Mars? Go to the moon. Person goes to the moon. What bracha did you make? Chazal didn't make a bracha. Why? Who's going to the moon? So today we live now in a time. Now we're living in a time. There's a lunar eclipse these 2 days. Now, l'chora, today is the best day to make the Kiddush Levana, a lunar eclipse. Even when the Levana is lakui, still to make the bracha, it's a tremendous opportunity. If you didn't make Kiddush Levana yet, you can still make Kiddush Levana tonight. The 2 day lunar eclipse, right? Is that the 2 day lunar eclipse?
Today is the 15th, tonight's the 16th.
Last night was the full eclipse.
Last night.
So it's too late now?
11:42.
How can you make it up?
Over.
It was a blood moon.
Over. Last night it was over.
If you don't see the moon, how do you make it
up? No, you can still see. You can see part of it, portion of it. I don't know. You have to ask all the mumchim. This is over my head, this stuff. But they didn't make a bracha. They didn't make a bracha to go to the moon. They didn't make, because it's not relevant. The Yam HaGadol going to the Atlantic Ocean is like going to the moon. The people who live in the area of the Shul, they're shaykhets to go to the Atlantic Ocean. Or are you going to another world?
They didn't
even know it existed. Exactly. It's off the world. So I mean, it's not really they know it exists. You can't say that they know it exists. The L'chor, they knew there's a certain point in the world you come to an end. And then there's a big Yam. So Chazal say, you make a bracha on the Yam HaGadol, were they referring to the end of the world and you see that body of water, which, whatever they thought, I don't know what they thought, or no, it means something much more relevant, more practical, where trade, commerce, I mean, that was the major highway of the world, of the Mediterranean. All right, but any of it over here, we have over here, that's the Yam HaGadol, is the over here, in this Chazal specifically, we're calling the Mediterranean, we're calling it the Yam Ha, one of the seven seas, the Yam HaGadol. Okay, so these are the seven bodies of water. Okay, now before we conclude, I just want to conclude with one very interesting thing over here. Let me just find the page over here. Al-Kial Yamim Yisada. And I'll tell it to you outside because we're not going to have enough time. I'll just do. Yeah. These other rivers. Now there's a very interesting chazal that's quoted here by many of the Mefarshim. I never heard of this, it's very fascinating. Hashem made the world in such a way that you do not have to travel more than 18 days to reach water.
That's the
Bar Mitzvah. Look in the Radak. Look in the Radak. The Radak, page 215. Everyone quotes it. The Radak quotes it in more detail. But page 215. Mm-hmm. On page 215, the Amru. This is an incredible phenomenon. according to Chazal's understanding, I mean, today is that really true today, based on what we know of the whole world? Everywhere in America, you don't have to travel more than 18 days by foot. I'm talking about going by foot, right? That's when they're going by plane.
Well, most every state is, so the borders are rivers. Most states.
So that's what must mean. Must mean rivers. This is an incredible Chazal. The Amru ki ein yishuv ba'olam. Chazal made the following statement: there is no inhabited place in the entire world. Rochik min hayom. I guess it means a body of water. Whether it means a river, whether it means an ocean, a pond, a lake. I don't know. Mahalach shemoineh. Esrei yoyim, 18 days. V'zeh l'to'eles halachus labiruim. This is necessary for the survival of the world. Because the most basic element a person needs is water, H2O. And there is mist. When there is an ocean, there's a pond, when there's water, that the water, obviously, the eid yala min ha'aretz. And it travels, and it nourishes. It nourishes part of the water cycle. If the land is too large and there's a very great gap between land and a body of water, the water is not going to reach the center of earth. Rivers. Hashem made the word losheves yotzon. This is a classic possibly quote that Hashem wants people to get married and have children. Losheves yotzon. Hashem made the world in order to be inhabited. If it's not going to be water, you're not going to be inhabited. Shekoyin roi sot kadei shiyuha yitzurim bo v'tam ki hi mitchila lo nivres kach el yoyza kulo tachas asmayim. Okay, then he goes on. All right, so this is a very...
Sahara Desert.
So he's saying also, anyway, this is what Chazal is saying. You have to analyze what this means, obviously. Is that every single place in this world, you do not need to travel more than 18 days to reach a body of water. And does that mean a river, a lake, a pond? There is some natural body of water located not more than 18 days travel distance. Now, when they made this statement, were they referring to the world that they knew of, the civilized world that they knew of their time? Chazal wrote this 2,000 years ago, okay, maybe more. So they obviously, I mean, we don't know. They're coming Ruach HaKodesh,
know
everything? I don't know. I don't know what they knew. I have no idea. You know, you always have this dilemma. You have this dilemma. Chazal have Ruach HaKodesh. Right, so what does it mean? They're not part of the Yishuv. Right, yeah, that's part of the dilemma. When Chazal make a statement, a scientific statement, is it based upon the common knowledge of the common men of that time? Chazal obviously said Ruach HaKodesh. What does that mean? You have Ruach HaKodesh, you know the world is round, you know every single thing that's going on in the entire world, they're making a statement, a scientific statement, which includes for all time. Is that what it means? Or maybe what it means is maybe they didn't know that, but they're writing a statement that was true for the people for the common man living in their generation. And when we read it today, we have to understand that they may have known everything, all the secrets of this world, but the statements that they wrote were statements that of their generation, the common man of their generation, lived assuming there's a civilized world, however large it was. They didn't know from what took place in America, okay, in Australia, they didn't know from these places, but what they knew of, they made an assessment, it's never more than 18 days. And what is the significance of 18? I guess chai. I mean, 18 is always chai, is life. Okay. Kiv shuesa aretz. What's the pasuk? Peruvu milu es aretz v'chiv shua. To conquer. Conquer means to move. To move. Life. Part of life. When Hashem created man, was He gave man life, and the instruction of life is to conquer. Conquer means to travel. And is telling us life is chai, 18. I mean, obviously the numbers are very significant. More than that, I don't know, but this is a very interesting Chazal. Why did Chazal even need to make the statement? What was bothering them? They had to say that you don't need to travel more than 18 days to find water. Obviously, there's something very, very deep in this statement. And obviously, number 18 automatically triggers the concept called life, chai. And traveling is a concept which represents kibush. Kibush is to travel. And when Hashem said to Adam and Chava after He created them, Piru Revu, Umilu Es Haaretz, V'chivshua, conquer the world, travel, expand, see what's going on out there. 18, I created you to live. Hi, 18 days. I'm just saying words, obviously, but there's something over here. It's a very interesting statement, which is excellent. Chomer Ledrush. All right, enough said. We'll take a short break.
Yanam Yisaga, the whole room is based on the water.
Right, there's more.
There will be a.
Okay, we'll do tomorrow a Malbim. There's a very fascinating Malbim about this, about the water and the earth. We'll talk in Mishnah tomorrow.
Rabbi, where's my card? Tell us that the boy calls the girl.
The boy calls the girl. Shaduchim.
Who was it?